Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's a discussion of the latest entertainment news and celebrity gossip that go beyond the headlines. Welcome to Daily Pop, the podcast edition.
Right now, you guys, it is time to kick off Daily Pop. All right, first up, Zendaya slayed at the Critics' Choice Awards. The fashion was next level, and we cannot wait to talk about it. Then we are on Royal Rumor Patrol. What is really happening behind closed doors today? Will William and Harry's relationship ever be the same, and why is Victoria Beckham being dragged into the drama? All that plus, Rob Lowe is here, guys. We're so excited to have him live in studio. But first, let's begin with one word, Zendaya. Her Tom Ford look at the Critics' Choice Awards is all anyone can talk about. It is, if the top kind of looks familiar, that's because we just saw Gwyneth Paltrow wearing it on this month's Harper's Bazaar as well. We talked about that last week, and I loved it then. I love it now. Is this the new thing we're all going to wear? Me and my pregnancy bump hanging out at the bottom?
Because not everybody can wear it.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because Tom Ford is extremely selective about who he dresses and when he dresses. The past 2 years, you haven't really seen many girls or guys walking red carpets in Tom Ford. So this moment is a big deal for Zendaya.
She looked unbelievable. You're right. Like, not everybody can pull this off.
I mean,
she just is the epitome of sexy, cool.
It's effortless.
Forward.
I mean, you have to have that sort of frame to be able to pull that off as well as she did. And it was hands down. And I mean, typically when somebody does wear something on a magazine cover, you don't necessarily want to wear it right after. I remember because I'm a huge Gwyneth Paltrow fan, but I completely forgot.
Yes.
Really?
Like, she just owned it. That was her look. It was a different moment. She owned it. It was so, so good.
And it's cool enough, though. I thought...
Totally.
It's fine. Wear it again because it's that cool.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Totally.
All right. Well, let's also talk about Billy Porter now. He never disappoints on the carpet. And this event was no exception. Listen to what he told Will about his latest look.
What inspired the look today? I just, as I always do, want to... break the gender binary, mold the expectation of what is acceptable, what is masculine, what is feminine. We all are on the spectrum. I embrace all sides of myself, so I want to live inside of that. And that's what I'm doing.
Aw, Billy says the butterflies are a symbol of the transgender community.
Mm-hmm.
His look is a bit deceiving. It appears to be a dress, but it's actually a pantsuit.
Oh, my God.
Fabulous.
I love that this man walks on a red carpet, and every moment, every fashion choice comes with a meaning and a choice. It's not him having a dress or a fashion moment. It's him making a statement and furthering a community.
Yeah, agreed. Totally. It's not just done with no purpose. It's done to sort of break the sort of stigma and the rules of what everyone, man's supposed to wear this, woman's supposed to wear that, and that's not necessarily true. And it was gorgeous. The color was unbelievable. I loved the butterflies. It didn't take away from the look. I thought it added... Very well done, as always.
All right, well, now you all know we talked about how we weren't exactly crazy about J-Lo's dress at the Globes, but she may have redeemed herself last night. Look at what she wore to the Critics' Choice Awards. I love this. I thought it was elegant, it was beautiful, it's head to toe, perfect.
I love this look, and I love it because I know what she is trying to do. I think for her, she is trying to separate Jennifer Lopez, the actress, and J-Lo, the glamazon. So a lot of her looks when she's nominated for awards or she's being a thespian or an actress is understated glam.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, this is exactly what it was. It was glamorous, it was understated, but it was still her. Mm. I love this look.
I liked it. It definitely was not my favorite, but I could just tell she probably put it on. It was comfortable. It looked unbelievable on her body. It was just an easy choice, but it's not my favorite dress.
Yeah. No. And I also don't think you go all out for the
but
LA film critics.
The Globes, it was better than the Globes. Unfortunately, like, the Globes for me was really such a miss.
You hated that. You hated
I really
that Globe.
Did not like it.
Yeah.
I didn't like the color scheme of it.
Mm.
All right. Some other looks that caught our eye were Cynthia Erivo, Charlize Theron, Lupita Nyong'o, and Mandy Moore.
Cynthia and Lupita, for me, hands down, killed it. I loved Mandy. I thought it was very different. Charlize, I liked it. I mean, I know she's been really edging it up and kind of playing with her looks every carpet, so it's been exciting to watch. The jacket, for me, on top of it, was just... I get the casual, cool part. It didn't translate that way for me.
I wish the jacket had been floor length.
Or just draped on her, maybe? Maybe because it's on? I don't know. It just looked like she was...
I'm kind of with you. I don't know that we needed the jacket, but I get where she was going with that.
I get it,
she wanted to be more casual, cool, so let's throw a blazer on top. But I don't know that it added. It wasn't the right blazer, maybe.
Yeah. No. It needed to be more of a specific blazer.
But Cynthia, I love that dress.
Cynthia has been, her looks have killed it every single time. She's really, I hope she wins the Oscar just because of how good she's looked.
Right?
She's looked incredible.
Good fashion last night, though. I was not disappointed.
Everyone stepped it up.
Great fashion last night.
Well, today's the day the royal family will begin hashing out Harry and Meghan's exit as senior royals. We've got Melanie Bromley joining us now. There is so much to discuss, Mel. Like, I felt like every time I opened a news app this weekend, it was more Harry, Meghan stories coming out from the royal family. And I don't even know what's true or not, so that's why we had to call you in here.
I know.
Fill us in, what's happening today?
Very, very dramatic, guys. Actually, news is just breaking in the past few minutes as well. Oh. So Harry, William, Charles, the Queen, and their private secretaries all met today at Sandringham in the Long Library. And what they did is they're really hashing out how Meghan and Harry can live this new independent life abroad. Meghan, we've been told, phoned in from her new home, the place that she's been renting in Canada, so that she could be part of the discussions as well.
Oh, she signed the lease already?
A few minutes ago, the boys, William and Harry, were seen leaving Sandringham, and now we have a new statement that has been sent out by the Queen as of 3 minutes ago, guys. So this is all very, very new. What the Queen says in her new statement is... Today, my family had a very constructive discussion on the future of my grandson and his family. My family and I are entirely supportive of Harry and Meghan's desire to create a new life as a royal family. Although we would have preferred them to remain full-time working members of the royal family, we do respect and understand their wish to live a more independent life as a family while remaining a valued part of the family. The statement does go on to say that Harry and Meghan do not want to be reliant on public funds, which we know from their new website that was released last week. And it is therefore being agreed that there will be a period of transition in which the Sussexes will spend time in Canada and the UK. She goes on, she finalizes the statement by saying, these are complex matters for my family to resolve, and there is some more work to be done, but I've asked for final decisions to be reached in the coming days. So this is it. The Sandringham Summit has been completed. William, Harry, Charles, and the Queen have all sat in the same room. And what I do believe has just happened is that really the royal family have laid forth like how Harry and Meghan can live an independent life, and it's up to Harry and Meghan which parts of that they take, you know, whether it's about keeping their titles, which I think they will keep, how much of their security is going to be paid for by the British taxpayer, and also the relationship in the family going forward, because you have to bear in mind what's happened over the past week is probably the most embarrassing rift and fraction to happen in the royal family for decades since Charles and Diana. So this is a big, big deal, and it's the kind of chapter that the 93-year-old Queen wants over as soon as possible.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure. Okay, well, help us understand some rumors. Are these fact or fiction? Mm-hmm. So there's one rumor that says Meghan and Harry are going to do a no-holds-barred interview, and it's not going to be pretty.
Look, if I was the Queen sitting at the table today in the Long Library, I would have said you cannot speak about our internal, a family business, as anyone would say. So I do think that Meghan and Harry will be able to have more say. They've already said that they want to be speaking to different journalists about different issues. But I can't see them... unless they really don't get what they want, which I also don't think is going to happen, doing an interview with, you know, E! News saying, it was awful in the royal family. It's been like a prison. I really can't see that happening.
No, everybody was speculating that Oprah was advising them last week. And
she clarified she has not.
clarified that they were not. I think the conversation with Oprah is not about advising them. It's about doing that first sit down and talking to one of the most powerful women in media about their experience in the palace. And I've never seen an Oprah interview where she's like, oh, just tell me what you want to tell me. Oprah digs in there.
Well, I think that Harry and Meghan, if they were to do any interviews about environmental issues or female empowerment or whatever it might be, they're going to be picking up and coming journalists and journalists that we don't know. They're going to be making names for reporters who are young and really, like, helping to cover news in a different way.
But it sounds like Harry and Meghan aren't just going out there to bring in awareness about the environment. They want their Hollywood life back. That's why Harry was pitching Meghan to Bob Iger on the red carpet.
That was a little, I can't believe that he actually did. When I heard the audio, I was like, ooh, cringe.
It's just cringy. Too much. And I'm sorry. I do love Meghan, and I do agree with her
desire to want to live a normal life.
However,
and Harry, darling.
However,
don't put this all on Meghan.
No, no. I will say this because a woman runs a household. But I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be honest. And again, I'm not coming for Meghan. What I'm going to say is, if I married a man who was in a royal family and I understood what his life was and what the people of his country
expected from him,
I wouldn't go into a marriage saying, I'm going to be here and I'm going to support you. And then a year later, all of a sudden, I'm renting in Canada before I even have the son.
Well, but I think that this is something they talked about way before marriage. Like, I feel like I said this last week. This is something Harry has wanted.
This is something Harry has wanted.
And he found a girl that was like, you can do it.
Yeah, but this is why they always want them to marry British girls who understand the institution and don't want to leave.
That is not true.
Do you feel like, what does this mean for Harry and William now? Like, are they going to still spend holidays together? And also, like, are Meghan and Harry going to be able, I know that they're obviously from one of the most powerful families in the world, but, like, how are they going to be able to sustain their lives without relying on any public funds?
Well, look, if she's getting paid by Disney to do voiceover work, and, you know, there is an Apple TV thing between Harry and Oprah, then actually they are going to get private funds really, really easily.
Do you think she's going to act again?
I don't know. It's possible. If that's going to bring money,
that is so nuts
to me. Which is the whole Disney thing, right? Is that she's doing a voiceover work and the money instead is going to Elephants Without Borders, which is going to an animal charity. So look, this is what we said last week. I do want to say, Harry and William, there was a report today, I think it's in the Times of London, which said that William had basically bullied out Harry and Meghan from the royal family. And so Harry and William earlier today did release a joint statement denying that and saying that this is very unfair reporting. I think part of the family summit today is going to be about, look, we have to be a family. We have to act like a family because this is taking too much attention away from the real work of the monarchy.
Netflix, fast forward the crown. I need this season to be about Megxit ASAP.
Real quick before we go, because we have to let you go soon, but David Beckham, why is he now being dragged into this?
Every celebrity is being dragged into it because everybody knows, and look, we had Oprah denying it last week, that Meghan and Harry have really powerful friends and that they would have got advice from people. David Beckham, I think it's because one of the papers said that it was Victoria that Meghan thought was releasing stories about her. Like, it's
and
just
then
ridiculous.
Harry confronted David and then they had an awkward friendship.
I will tell you that none of this is true.
None of this is true?
None of that's true.
Okay.
There are sources leaking everywhere about this because this is a great gossipy story and everybody wants to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I've been asked about all weekend. So everyone's talking about it, but not Victoria Beckham.
Underwood, better take notes.
Melanie, thank you so much for coming in this morning. All right, up next, the Oscars. They're out. We're talking the nominees, the surprises, and the snubs when we come back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
The Oscar nominations are out. Who was snubbed and who's going to win? Please welcome Fandango correspondent Nikki Novak to the show.
Yes, Nikki.
She's going to help us break this all down. Okay, we got to start with Jennifer Lopez. It's the question we were all wondering. Is J-Lo going to get an Oscar nom? She did not.
I will say for Morgan, what the fashion. We won't see her on the carpet in which she was going to wear. I'm so disappointed. If the Oscars are smart, they'll get her presenting. I don't know if she will show up at this point, but if they could have her present, she could show up, look amazing, and sort of steal a little bit of the spotlight. Mm-hmm. To me, it wasn't a huge surprise that she wasn't nominated. I think all along the conversation was always Golden Globes. Mm. And yeah, we could have seen another Beau, perhaps. I think that was always sort of the thing, is she's going to get a Golden Globes nod because they like stars, where the Oscars is a little more snooty. They award a body of work over time.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. Just one particular movie?
No, sometimes they like, you know, they like actors that have sort of, and she hasn't done a
ton of dramatic. So why did it take Leo 100 years to get nominated?
Because they
then?
Wanted his body of work
the
to build
body
up.
Of work. And look at Bradley Cooper last year. You know, he didn't even get a director's nomination. Like, sometimes it's just the way it goes. To me, it wasn't a huge surprise, but I think over the award season, we heard her name so much that we expected her to be nominated.
The reason why I wasn't surprised about her is because a lot of these actresses who go out and campaign for these nominations, they schedule themselves out of movies. They don't do commercials. They don't do film because they want to be available to go to the teas, to go to the ribbon cuttings, and to be available.
Yeah.
This woman has no time to take time off of her tour, take time off of producing another movie, take time from
Super Bowl. Yeah.
There's just so much going on, and I feel bad because a lot of people who don't have the time to campaign don't get the nomination.
And they usually, too, like a movie, they like to award it across the board, and Hustlers didn't get anything.
Right.
So sometimes it's like the whole package.
And it's not really like your typical Oscar film. It's not.
It's
there
not.
There was a lot of premature buzz, I think you're saying.
Because she's
right?
such a big star. And people want to see
and
it. And
she looked
talk
so
about
good
it.
In it.
And Cardi was in it. That took a lot, a lot of buzz.
Yeah.
As well. All right, well, the biggest snub that people are talking about is Awkwafina. So she won the Globe for Best Actress in a Musical or Comedy. And then she didn't even get nominated at the Oscars. This also happened to Taron Egerton.
Yeah.
This goes back to body of work, right?
It goes back to that. This was really considered to be her first big dramatic role. But at the same time, to me, when I'm filling out my ballots, she was always in the number 4 or 5 slot, only because we had like the Renées, the Charlize, you know, the Saoirse Ronans already in there. So you're looking for the last two spots. They're sort of jockeying for position. Mm. So to me, she was always a little bit on the fringe, but I think you're right. Because of the Golden Globes, everybody expected she was going to get it. And people are behind her. She's so likable.
Yeah.
She's been out campaigning like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that was a surprise.
But I think the next time around, she is going to get it because people will remember, oh my God, we snubbed her for this movie.
Yeah.
We have to give it to her for the next one.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, we got Joaquin, Renee, Brad, and Laura. So these four have swept their categories so far this award season. They all got the nods for the Oscars. Should we just go ahead and give them the statues now? Like, is it going to happen?
Is Brad going to get an Oscar?
No.
That
He's
is the
famous.
Only one I am calling a possible upset. You're right.
He's too famous.
You're right. It's partly because when you look across the board, it happened last year with Glenn Close, where she won everything leading up, and then she didn't win Best Actress.
That was very devastating.
Yeah.
That was upsetting.
And I think of all of those four that you're talking about, I think Renee's a lock.
Okay.
She's been a lock for me. I know you love her.
She's are you reading my mind?
But she's, I know you love
of
her.
Of course she's going to win. I mean, it was
amazing.
She was incredible.
Yeah. And I think Charlize is sort of like neck and neck was for a while, but now, and now Laura Dern. So she is on the board of governors at the Academy.
Oh.
Just saying.
So what does that mean?
It just means, like, when you talk about resume, right? Like, Laura Dern has been in the game for so long and has been, like, a loved actress for a very long
time.
And
you talk about campaigning, nobody is better than Laura Dern. She shakes the hand. She's so likable. Her dad is Bruce Dern. It's Hollywood royalty.
Right.
I think she has it. On the actor side is where you could see the surprises. Joaquin, I was at the Critics' Choice last night, and his speech was so buttoned up compared to the Globes. And I'm like, his PR people told him, we got to get that Oscar. Don't say anything too out there.
I don't see Joaquin doing a lot of campaigning.
No, he has not.
But I love him for that. Like, I love that he gets to be true to himself. And he's such an actor. He's such an artist. And he doesn't need to buy into this Hollywood
brand. Because he does the body of work moment.
Yes.
Joaquin's not giving you a movie where it's not going to be nominated for an Oscar. He's not going to be a supporting actor in a Todd Field
Phillips, you know, Hangover Part 16. You know, he's not giving you that.
But that's why he's was a bit of a wild card. But Joker actually got the most number of nominations of any film, which was a surprise. So it shows you that he's probably a lock. But the Brad Pitt is what I'm saying, because you have Al Pacino and Joe Pesci in that supporting category. And to me, that could be the surprise, where it's like, nah, Brad won everything else leading up. But I still think, for the most part, you could probably count on those four.
All right. Nikki, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Very exciting. Oscars is coming up. All right, coming up now, Rob Lowe is here. He's going to tell us all about his brand new show, and he's spilling secrets of how he never ages. We need to know all the secrets, please.
You do not want to see me lie down.
Oh, are you shy? I thought you weren't scared of anything.
Out in the country, past the city limits sign, where there's a honky-tonk near the county line.
I thought you said I didn't want to see you lie down.
I didn't want to show you up.
They got whiskey.
Please welcome the Serena Williams of country line dancing, Rob Lowe, everybody.
Oh, my God.
You are the GOAT of line dancing.
I don't know about that.
It's pretty damn good.
The last time I'd ever had to dance professionally was the Footloose auditions.
Oh, my God.
In, like,
God.
The 80s, and I was taken out by an ambulance because I blew my Achilles out.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Were you a little nervous taking this on? Were you like, the last time I did this?
I was like, look, at least I have this job already. It's not like I'm going to lose it in the audition.
Right.
But it definitely had a little PTSD going on there.
Yeah. Is that the only reason why Kevin Bacon got the job? Was because you twisted something on the way out?
I think it was helpful to him.
Now, tell us about this show.
Well, 911 Lone Star is, first of all, I like the original, the 911 with Peter Krause and Angela Bassett.
Love it.
So good. And there has to be a reason to do a different one other than just wanting to parlay that success. And you know, this is a show where we're having these red state, blue state conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really funny and really interesting and unexpected and not overly hectoring or woke or whatever. It's just like really cool. And so that's infusing all of the fun 911, what's your emergency action. It's really, really a cool show.
But everything's bigger in Texas. So all the emergencies bigger in Texas. Like, what kind of emergencies are we going to see on this show?
Everything's bigger. It is. First of all, the show is bigger. It just looks bigger. It looks like a movie, you know. Liv is such a great counterpart to my character. Love her. How great is she?
I was going to say, watching that, the chemistry you two have was very exciting to watch. I feel like you guys are great together.
And I agree. And you never know. Mm-hmm. That's the interesting thing, is you never really know if you're going to have that until you meet them.
When you walk on a set, how long does it take you to realize, this is going to work between us, or this is going to be a little bit more challenging for us to get along?
A lot of times you can tell one way or the other the minute you meet them and you stand next to them, but there are other times you have to see yourself on camera. There's something about the camera for certain people that, I think it's like an X-ray. It can see things that you can't with your naked eye. Really.
That's a good one. Have you ever been on a set and been like, damn, this is not going to work?
Or
the
movie could have been better if I got a different co-star.
And I'm sure they were thinking the same thing. That's probably more likely. You know, people are like, what'd you get this kid?
Right?
Yeah.
Now, we talked about your wife during the commercial break. You guys have been married for how many years?
It's 29.
Okay.
Because we have a lot of questions.
29.
How do you make something like that last in Hollywood? Because it seems like we get to the 10-year mark with some people, and we're like, oh, my God, that was a great one. But 29 years.
Well, first of all, you know, that's a lot in any life. You know, Hollywood gets a bad rap with marriages, and we certainly have our share of sham marriages.
Yeah, we've seen
Say
them.
That three times fast. We have our share of sham marriages. We have a share of sham marriages. But it's hard everywhere. But I think what it really boils down to is, like, they once asked Alfred Hitchcock what the secret was for a hit movie.
Yeah.
And he said, casting.
Mm.
And that's the same for a marriage. It really is who you choose. And I chose
right.
It chose my best friend and, like, who I happened to think was hot.
Oh, my God. Well, speaking of hot, the internet is calling you the white man J-Lo.
Ooh.
Because you stay so young.
I will take that.
And so fit.
I will totally take that.
How do you stay proudly in shape like this?
America, here's the good news. I will not be singing at the Super Bowl. Rest easy. Rest easy.
Everyone was going to ask that, though. They were devastated to find that out just now.
Yes.
But what's your secret to staying in shape like you do? Because I've never seen a dad bod this hot in a very long
you're
time.
You're so youthful. I mean, just naturally.
You're very nice to say that. You know, a lot of it is just stuff that I've been doing over time that sort of catches up with you when you get, you know, in your 50s. You know, you start taking care of yourself. Like, I've been eating, you know, high protein, you know, low carb Atkins type for over, you know, probably since I was in my 30s.
Oh, you were on the bandwagon before the bandwagon even became a thing.
Yeah. No, and now I work for Atkins as a spokesman. And what's great about it is now when I go out to places, I have, just happened to me yesterday, a guy came up to me and said, hey, man, I just want to tell you I've lost 55 pounds, doing this Atkins lifestyle. And it feels good to share that with people. But that's a big part of it. You know, it's like whatever you get in, whatever you put in your body is
what you put out.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. It's more important than working out. And that's the big bummer, because I could work out every day. I love it. I'm active. I need it for my head.
What's your favorite workout?
My favorite workout is doing something that isn't in theory a workout. Skiing, surfing,
you like tennis, a paddleboard.
Paddleboard.
Outside.
Anything like that, and it's not a workout. But I'd be in the gym every day if I had the opportunity to. Guess what? Better to eat better. I hate that. Because I'm not a freak. I'm down with the pizza.
You're down with the za.
That was some ice cream. But, you know, you gotta kind of, overall, you gotta Atkins it up.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Now, another great achievement you've done is you've raised two well-rounded internet trolls. And yes, they troll you so magnificently.
They really
it's
do.
It's unbelievable. The first time they ever trolled you, what was it like?
Well, I was like, this is just, I didn't think it would become a thing because that's just, that's our relationship.
They troll
always,
you in real life.
Oh, yeah. They're always, you know, keeping me down. My boys are always keeping me
That's
down.
That's good. It keeps them humble, keeps them in check.
Like, literally, honestly, it's Oscar time, it's award season. You know, I think when I got nominated for the Golden Globe for Behind the Candelabra, I was like excited. They were like, Dad, relax. Tom Hanks has five. It was like, That's what it is. That's what it is in my house.
Like, don't be too excited. Like, somebody is beating you already.
100%. Yeah.
Come on.
I love that. Oh, my God. Thank you so much for being here. This was so much fun.
We
really
fun.
Appreciate it. You guys, you can check out 911 Lone Star. It premieres this Sunday on Fox. Check your local listing. Up next, is sexting cheating? We have a lot of thoughts on this one. You want to stick around.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Meghan King Edmonds is opening up about the downfall of her marriage on her new podcast, Intimate Knowledge. Meghan says her ex had a sexting situation, which she considers cheating. So, first question, sexting cheating to you guys?
I'm going to say this right now. I'm having a situation right now where a guy who's in a relationship is flirty texting with me. And my rule with him is, if you wouldn't say it on a group chat in front of your man, don't say it to me alone.
Okay. So is he following that rule?
maybe not, but I'm going to remind him of it. I just think sometimes sexting is a little bit more emotional than just physically cheating with somebody. Mm-hmm. So for me, the thought that you've been thinking about hooking up with someone and you're sexting them to warm it up, that's like a whole act of betrayal.
A lot of it sometimes is just for their own ego.
That's
and I don't,
true.
And I don't know that they're, you know, sometimes it's like they would actually physically do it. It's a little different. Like, I'm getting away from Megan's case specifically because we know that there was, like, plans, like, to go to a hotel. I mean, I think they were, like, making plans to meet up. And that's, like, a whole other level. But I also think...
Because that's not sexting. That's setting up a plan to cheat.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, still sexting, though. I mean, I think... I don't know one wife out there or one husband out there that if they saw, they looked through their significant other's DMs and saw them sending like nudes or even talking about asking for nudes from somebody else would be like, All right, I understand. I mean, anybody would be heartbroken
so
for that.
So if you saw a rogue titty on Shannon's DM,
yeah, we'd be having to talk about it. We'd be talking about it, and I'd be deleting as many apps as I could.
But let me ask you this. Okay, the photos, yes. But what if there was just casual conversations with a flirtatious undertone?
That's the worst. Mm.
You think that's the worst?
Well, it's just like, what's the point? Like, I don't know. Like, but I feel like, different. What's your goal? What's your goal here? Like, are you in an unhappy relationship and you want attention from somebody and you want to seek out that attention physically, you know, from start to finish?
Yeah.
You know, that's a good, are you looking for attention
like, are
and
you,
you're not
you,
getting
if
it?
You're, if you just need attention from somebody because your relationship is boring or you want to have a good time or whatever, and you go out to a bar and you flirt with somebody, that's harmless. It's not that big of a deal. It depends how, I mean, if you just want somebody to be like, can I buy you a drink? And then you're like, no, thank you. Like, I'm taking, whatever it is. If you want to innocently flirt with somebody, that's okay. If you are sexting with somebody because you want to meet up and have plans with them, then that's not just sexting. Yeah. That's obviously somebody that you've met and you're making arrangements for, which is just as bad as cheating.
Mm. Yeah.
I think if you're sexting some random girl on Instagram that you think maybe is
cute,
available for those services.
But what if you're somebody naked in every so unreasonable? Photo? Let's say you've reached out to a girl, she lives in Romania, and you're never gonna see her. There's no chance that your husband's ever gonna see her.
So then what's the point?
Attention.
But then get attention from somebody that's
your wife?
No, but get attention from somebody that, like, if you need attention from somebody, like, flirt with somebody innocently when you're out. Why do you need to talk to somebody from on Instagram from Romania?
Because I think sometimes when people aren't getting the attention that they want in a relationship, they look for it in places
100%.
Elsewhere. But they also
Absolutely.
Look for places where it won't be a complete... It won't be, like, feasible. Like, okay, this girl's in Romania. I'm going to sex with her.
It makes them feel better, I think, about it. I think it's like something like, well, this isn't that bad because obviously I'm never going to meet this woman.
100%. When I was dating someone...
Does it even work, though?
It works. When I was dating somebody, I was sexting with somebody, but I would always say in the sex, yo, you know this can never go anywhere past...
And what just is like sex... I think why I'm more quiet than I thought I was going to be on the subject is, what is the definition? When I think sexting, are we just talking about flirtatious texts that could be perceived as like flirty and like you want to meet up? Or is it like you're saying sexual things to the person?
You're saying sexual things and you're exchanging and or exchanging body part images.
Okay, that's, yeah, you can't do that.
That's how I see it. Yeah. Like if I get a rogue ball in my DMs, that's a sex.
But also flirty text messages is just, when you're in a serious relationship, it's just also really ballsy.
So what if you just got on, like, your man's DMs and saw that he just was telling this girl, like, I think you're seriously the most beautiful person I've ever seen? What if you just saw something like that where it's not saying I want to meet up with you, it's not
beautiful?
Saying I want to have sex with you, but it's you're the most beautiful woman I've seen?
We fighting.
Right?
Call Barbara. We gonna fight.
Because my thought is, what was the point? What was your objective with sending that? What were you hoping would come out of that? Are you hoping that she bites? Was that you fishing for something?
I think that's a fish.
But and by the way, that's why I date men who don't know how to connect to the Wi-Fi. Like, if you were born before 1955, we cannot date because you know your way around an iPhone. Like, I'm trying to... Walter has a flip phone from Nokia 1996.
Okay, well, I have more questions for you guys about this, but we have to go to commercial real quick. But we'll be right back, and we're going to talk about what's worse, physical cheating or sexting?
Stay
with us. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back. We are talking about sexting and if it's ever okay in a relationship. Is sexting more forgivable than physical cheating?
If my man went out one night, slipped and fell on top of somebody else, and like in a drunken situation and came and told me and I didn't find out from someone else, I could forgive him. But if I found that he was in an emotional affair with somebody, that to me is a little bit less forgivable because it makes it seem like you were missing out on something emotionally in our relationship. Whereas if physically I wasn't meeting your needs or I wasn't being, you know, intimate with you, that I would be like, okay, that's kind of...
Or if you had been together for like 15 plus years.
That's kind of like my fault, or like we just kind of drifted away. The emotional affair to me is worse.
Also, if somebody comes to you and says, I made this mistake, this is what happened, I want to be open and honest with you about it, I messed up, I feel like people should be forgiven for mistakes that they make. And that also shows that this person knew that they made a mistake and they don't want that to dictate the rest of your relationship. They want to move on from this experience. And people people mess up.
For sure. Yeah.
I think with both scenarios, it's always how the significant other handles the situation. I mean, that makes the big difference on whether a couple stays together or not. Like you said, did they come to you? Did they own up to it? Are they making as many steps as they possibly can to make things right with you, to fix whatever problems there were that led to the cheating or the sexting? You know, it's a whole... Or are you still suspicious of their behavior every time they go out? And can you get past that? Like, sometimes, like, you know, some people just can't get past it, you know, no matter what.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But I also think that if you can't get past it, you have to be honest with yourself and say, okay, I'm not gonna sit in this relationship for the next 3 years and make myself miserable with worrying about where you are, checking your phone all the time, and I'm also not gonna make you miserable. So you almost just have to be real with yourself and say, look, I can handle this, or I can't handle this.
I think you don't know until you're in the situation. I think you really have to go through all of the different and emotions. And there's always two people in a relationship that cause whatever happens to go wrong.
100%.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
But I think the biggest mistake that people make whenever they do deal with infidelity is they tell people before they've made a decision about what they want to do and what's best for them and their families.
What do you mean, tell people? Like, tell their friends?
Like, tell your friends, or you tell X, Y, and Z, because the first thing your friends are going to say is, oh, my God, leave his ass. Yeah. This is terrible, blah, blah, blah. Whereas you don't really get a chance to really make up your mind yourself before you're influenced by other people.
Yeah. That's why I do feel for celebrities sometimes, because whenever a cheating scandal gets exposed, they've got the whole world's opinions before you've even processed it yourself and deciding, like, I don't even know what I want. Like, I don't even know if I can forgive this guy or not, but now I've got 15 million people commenting and telling me I should leave him or I'm a weak person.
It definitely doesn't make things easy, for sure, to have everybody in your business all the time speculating on what happened. And the truth of the matter is nobody really knows what happens between two people.
And by the way, the truth and what's reported is always the gap.
There's
to
a big
it
gap.
Is like
the gap.
This bit.
Yeah.
Okay, let's read some of your thoughts about sexting. Juice says, do we have the same definition of sexting? This conversation makes it seem like it's just flirting. My interpretation is that it's raunchy. It's words of action.
Right, well, that's why I asked, to clarify. Yeah. Like, I think everyone has a different opinion of sexting. Sexting is nude photos and trying to act upon something.
Making plans to have sex.
No, even if you say, I would like to put my hand in that area, that's sexting.
That's sexting, yes, okay. Forward sexual content.
Yes.
Okay. Tia says, both are considered cheating. One is no better than the other. Mm. And Constance says, if you are sexting, you're thinking about that person and maybe doing things while you text.
That was a lot for my Cheerios.
That's a lot.
Okay. Coming up, Justin hits the streets to see how much people really know about The Bachelor.
Yeah.
We'll be right
back. Surprising, by the way.
Is it really?
Oh, it's so surprising.
24 seasons of The Bachelor. You would think everybody would be tuning in, but that's not it.
It was crazy. You'd be surprised how little people know about one of the longest standing shows on ABC. I went to the streets. Check this out.
How many seasons of The Bachelor have there been?
9.
17.
That's a good answer. That's a good one.
16.
17.
12.
Like 20?
20 is your guess.
I'm gonna go ahead and say 12.
23. How many do you think are still married?
2.
9.
Ooh.
7.
5.
1. Can you believe Sean and Catherine? What was the name of the very first Bachelor? Just give me the first name.
Flavor Flav.
Flavor Flav.
They would not let Flavor Flav on ABC, okay?
Hey, he had a Bachelor show. It wasn't the exact same thing.
That's ratchet. I watch it all the time.
I'm not sure.
Alex, this is your last rose tonight.
How many spinoffs of The Bachelor have they been?
22.
6.
There's spinoffs?
Yes. There's spinoffs, there's merchandise.
5.
Like 7?
5! Bachelor Pad, Bachelor in Paradise After Paradise, and the Bachelor Winter Games. You're making that much money? If you could pick one celebrity to become The Bachelor, who would you pick?
Zac Efron.
George Clooney.
Jack Nicholson.
By the way, Jack Nicholson, the CDC would have to sponsor that because Jack Nicholson would try to hit on everybody.
Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston would be a good bachelorette.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Good night. I love this woman right here.
So cute.
They knew nothing. I was shocked.
I would be like that. I don't know that much.
It's hard. Who's your favorite bachelor? Can you name one bachelor?
Prince Borghese.
Nick Vile.
Wow!
Yes!
I think just because you did his podcast.
That's why. I didn't even know when I did his podcast, I didn't even know that he was actually The Bachelor at one point. I just thought he was, like, around them.
He was on the show, like, three times.
Like, yeah, he's a nice guy.
All right, moving on now to Grey's Anatomy star Justin Chambers. So he's announced that he is done with the show. In a statement, he said, "There's no good time to say goodbye to a show and character that's defined so much of my life for the past 15 years. Vanity Fair wrote that Grey's Anatomy is about to feel one of its biggest losses yet," to which Ellen Pompeo replied, "Truer words have never been spoken." Aww. So as it turns out, his last episode already aired. It came out November 14th. Mm-hmm. Fans of the show were like, "Ah, hello. You could have warned me. I should have savored my Alex Karev while I could."
Aww. There's a DVR. On demand.
You can go back. There's plenty of seasons you can revisit him.
Yeah. Do you think that you should have a heads up about a last episode if one of the main characters is leaving?
Look, I think that this was one of those situations that was extraordinary. You know, he has said that he has been dealing with mental health issues in the past. And I think after 16 seasons and the close relationship that this man has with Shonda Rhimes and ABC, this must be a serious, serious thing. So for him to admit that he has these issues and for them to recognize them, there must be something serious going on that we don't know about.
I know, but...
Or maybe, it just
happened really fast. Maybe it was like, we gotta end it now. But if there was a heads up, I like to know that my character is gonna be leaving.
I think there should be some sort of heads up, especially when the character is so iconic. They've been on for season after season. I mean, it affects the whole sort of balance of the show. I would wanna know. Yeah, I was so invested. That's why I don't get invested in shows, because I just can't deal with the change.
Don't change it on us.
Even The Crown. I was like, are you kidding?
I wouldn't be surprised if his character came back after a season of being away, because they left it open-ended. He just got suspended from
the
hospital.
Maybe that is what they're doing.
He didn't die. And Ellen Pompeo is like, yeah, truer words. She knows something as an executive producer. He might come back.
Yeah, Grace is known to do that, too. They just bring people back all of a sudden. All right, up next, Gigi and Zayn are back together again. Do we think it's going to stick this time? Ooh. Our thoughts when we come back. Gigi Hadid and Zayn Malik are back together again. On Saturday, they were spotted with Gigi's family for her mom's birthday dinner. And on Sunday, they were out in New York celebrating Zayn's 27th birthday. Mm. These two, man.
They can't quit each other,
They can't quit each other. What do we think? Is it going to stick this time?
Dating in New York around the wintertime is like musical chairs. When the summer music stops and it gets below 40, you just sit on the closest one there. I swear, you That's can't be a thought in the wintertime. No one goes out. It's literally like cuffing season.
You want to hibernate with somebody that you're comfortable with. And by the way, I think, like, I just don't get what... I mean, they're still young enough to kind of do this and, like, go back to each other, and they probably really do love each other. So, I mean, I'm happy every time a couple just sort of is so passionate about the other that they can't, like, leave each other. But I also just, like... Why can't they just stay together?
I know. So
what's so hard? They don't have to worry about, like, paying bills. They're not, like, you know, they're both kind of in the same place with their career.
Right.
Like, everything seems to be...
Because you know what happens? You get into this serious relationship, and it's going well, and everyone's pushing forward. And then all of a sudden, you see your sister in Mykonos with her two-piece bathing suit, living her best life, and dyeing her hair, and going this place, and going that place, and flirting with this guy.
Right.
And then you have a little bit of FOMO. These kids are forgetting that they're so young, and they have the rest of their lives to be married.
Right.
That they get that reminder, because the spring comes in New York, and they're like, oh, shit, it's hot girl summer again. Let's do this.
Those Hadid sisters, though, I just think they're relationship girls. They like to be in a relationship, and they prefer that. And Zayn, you know, look, I'm rooting for them. I'm always going to root for them because I do think they're a cute couple. But I'm kind of back with you, Morgan, though. Sometimes whenever you see friends go in this relationship, in and out with a guy, in and out with a guy, it typically ends without eventually.
I think so, too. I mean, but also, like, I'm very for if they still like each other and they still feel like they can't move on, there's something so romantic and exciting about that. And we've all had that one person. So I love when they're back together.
Nothing romantic about musical chairs in New York in the winter.
No, but I don't think there's anything. I think she just had her brief stint with Tyler.
Yeah.
And he was like, that's not going to happen. We haven't seen him with anyone else, so clearly they just...
Well, good luck, guys.
I'm happy for them if they love each other.
All right, that's it for us today. Tomorrow, Heather Dubrow is joining us live in studio and Bad Boys for Life co-stars Charles Melton and Alexander Ludwig. Bye!
Happy Monday, everybody!
Thanks for listening to the podcast edition of Daily Pop. Remember, we've got a new episode every day. Make sure to subscribe and have a great rest of your day.